Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, five Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank 401 is a route.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer B Radio. Glad you stopped by, and I'm your host, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armory College, Rick McCann. Glad that you are listening today, wherever you might be, and we do have listeners across the country and around the world, and more joining every day, and that's very, very exciting. On today's radio show, we have a number of things that we are going to share with you. We've got some exciting news happening about our radio show. We've got a name change, actually. Yep. After all of these years, it's time to upgrade a little bit. So there's a name change coming. We've got a platform change to tell you about, and we're very, very excited. We're also going to finish up Part 3 of Entrepreneurship and Business Ownership. And, of course, we always have a lot of breaking news happening as well. We're going to get to all of that here in this hour of the Private Officer Beat Radio. In the news this week, there's a lot of rumors about what might happen in just a few weeks. And it's very important to get that information out to all of our security officers, departments, agencies, our private police officers across the country. And so we are going to share that with you in the next quarter of the radio show coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. And we have some opportunities for you to get some free training. We're going to be talking about that as well. As you probably already know, happening across the country, there's still a lot of COVID issues. Coronavirus is not going away anytime soon. This past week, we did lose three more security officers to the COVID-19 virus. Very sad. One of them was a TSA agent, and two were employees of Allied Universal Security. Now, we have contacted the top 10 largest security companies in the U.S., including Allied, Securitas, G4S, and a number of others. And none of them would give us any totals as to the number of personnel who have been infected by the virus or any type of indication of how many employees lost their life due to COVID. We do know that TSA has had more than 2,500 infections, and we also know that eight of their personnel, and it may be higher now, actually, because several of their personnel have died this month. So we also know that several other companies employing proprietary security have had a number of their staff die from COVID, and we're continuously putting out news alerts as well as putting it all that information on our news blog. If you're not getting our news alerts, our officer down reports, our training opportunities in your email, all that you have to do is go to our website at privateofficer.org, privateofficer.org. A box will drop down, and you can put in your email address. You don't have to put in any other information if you don't want to. We're not going to sell it. We don't trade it. We don't give it away. It's all proprietary, secretive, just like the government, just like the Secret Service, you know, the feds. We'll keep it top secret just for you. You'll receive all of the breaking news and all of the officer down information in your emails. As soon as news happens, you'll know. Also, we've been tracking Puerto Rico, the statistics there. We recently was able to recover data from Puerto Rico, and indications are that a high number of security officers have lost their lives. We've actually been able to get 15 names from Puerto Rico, but their government is very, I don't want to say secretive, but definitely standoffish and very difficult to deal with. Though many of the people in government do speak English, and we do have people that do speak Spanish, it's still hard for them to give a direct answer, and it's disappointing and aggravating, to be honest with you, to deal with some of these agencies and governments, not only Puerto Rico, but other states as well. But we are doing the best we can. And we found out last week that we're actually the only true organization who is tracking the number of security officer deaths. Now, we've contacted the Labor Department. We've contacted OSHA. We've contacted a number of state health agencies. They don't have a handle on it. Some of the data that they get into their office doesn't indicate the profession of the person who died. And because these are not true on-the-job deaths where the person dies of a car accident or a shooting or an assault or workplace accident or violence, a lot of these agencies don't have the true profession or indications of what they were doing, because a lot of these people do get infected on the job and then they die at home or die at the hospital. And, you know, the death certificate just indicates general information. So sometimes the state agencies don't have the true information that we need. So I can't blame them, but we do a lot of digging and we are being very successful. We do indicate from our statistics, and this is I don't think this is far-fetched. I don't think it's you know, really, I don't think it's too far off track, but we have indications of around 500 security officer deaths. Our statistics are recording somewhere around 283 or something like that. I know that our team members who are working on it say that from all indications that they're getting from other agencies, that the number could be much, much, much higher. In fact, we had estimates earlier on that it was in the thousands, but that we backed off from that. But unfortunately, we're never going to really have a true number in this situation, just because of the way the reportings happen. In every state, they're different. And because the deaths are occurring, like I said, not generally at the workplace, but someplace at home or at the hospital, the doctors. And we even have noticed that a lot of times state agencies aren't reporting the deaths for several months. In one situation, it was 5 months after the death. And so we are collecting the data as efficiently and doing our due diligence. And, you know, we'll continue to update you on that, but it's been tough. Also, I want to tell you about a story that we heard, and it seemed hard to believe, but it's true. A person working in the security industry took it upon himself to not only buy himself PPE early on, but to be able to purchase it in large quantities. And he went about the Chicago area giving out PPE free. And he has also, he spent a lot of his own money, he spent a lot of his own time caring about others in the profession. Now, in Chicago and New York and other cities, there are several security unions operating, and those unions are, of course, money-driven. They do have membership fees and so forth, but they also do take care of their own. I don't know if this particular person was part of the union, but I do know that he spent a lot of his own money and time. If we had more people like him out there really caring about their neighbor and other professionals, it would be a better world. One of the we're going to go to our first commercial, our first break. But one of the downsides to the professional security industry, or to the security industry at large, is that we only consider ourselves and our company. We're not looking out for the next guy because they are our competitor. We're in competition with every proprietary agency, every contract agency, every startup. And a lot of security companies don't share information. They don't share statistics. They don't share training. They don't share anything. They're so afraid that if they do, that the company that they're communicating with might steal their secretive accounts. And I've got news for you. There's no secret. When I started my own agency in Nashville, Tennessee, the first thing that I did for the first few months, and this is what I do with all with all of my businesses, is I scope things out. I do my homework. And so the first thing I did before, you know, as soon as I moved to the city and I started my security company, I went out at night between 9 p.m. and 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and sometimes early in the morning, and I would scope out businesses that I would thought might have security or that I saw security at, and I would find out who was there, and I would research them, and then I would go in and offer the company a better deal, either a better price or additional services included. And research is what it's all about. So there's nothing secretive. Your accounts are not safe. They're not hidden from the public. And as long as you have a uniform and a patch and a badge and markings on your vehicle, which are great for advertising, but they also are great to broadcast to your competitors who you are and where you're doing work. But so many companies are so afraid, I guess, that if they even communicate with another, that they would lose their contracts. So, you know, if you're not doing a good job, of course you're going to lose your contracts anyways. If you're not a good company, of course you're going to lose your jobs anyway. So I don't know why they're so concerned, but we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a lot of information to share with you.
Slow down.
And move over.
When you see light, best.
Or reflective. Please, give us some room. Slow down.
And move over.
We look out for you.
So look out for us.
Please.
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 Slow down.
And move over.
It's the law.
It's the law. It's the law.
everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now, don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org, privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And, all right, we are back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. And as I told you in the introduction of the show a few moments ago, we do have a lot of things happening, including a name change to our radio show and some exciting news about the program. So first, let me say that we have had the radio program for many years. We started way back into the early days of the initiating the company, Private Officer International. We've always had social media presence. We've always had a blog, and then we've added other ancillary services such as the newsletter, the radio show, video platform, online digital magazine. But as with everything, times change, things change. So we have decided to change the name of the radio show, as we are upgrading the platform that it's going to be on. So the new name of the radio show starting January 1, 2021 will be Rick McCann, the Rick McCann Show, Public Safety Talk Radio. We feel that the change will add a little bit more credentials, a little bit more recognition, and a little bit more authority behind it. Because as someone who's been in this business a long time, my name is recognized. People know who I am, and they know that my whole life has been dedicated to private security, law enforcement, public safety, fire, EMS, the whole gamut of helping others. So we've decided, and I have decided, that with some other new changes that's happening, that this would be best for the show. So it's going to be the Rick McCann Show, Public Safety Radio, and we told you that we are sharing our radio show on many platforms across the internet. We're not just broadcasted here on our own website. We actually are fed into a number of other locations, such as iTunes and different locations. But a couple of months ago, we began also being featured on iHeart Radio, which is very cool. And beginning January 1, we'll be distributed with an agreement that we now have with a company. We'll be distributed on all internet-based radio or blog or podcast locations. So not only will we be on our own website and iHeartRadio, but we'll be distributed across all of the major online platforms. You can get our radio shows and download them. And the other thing that we've always done, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, but you can go back to the first radio show. You can go back to our training segments from day one. And everything is streamed live. And the difference, and I mentioned this before, people still call our radio show a podcast, but really it's not. It is a radio show because it's not only live, but it's streamed continuously. And so you'll be able to go across many different platforms and get the radio show. Wherever you listen to podcasts or read blogs or the news, we'll be everywhere, and it'll be much bigger than it ever has been. And we're changing some of the segments, and we'll announce that in the new year. I think it'll be a lot more exciting, but still, it'll be a radio show platform. And that's the other thing that's different. You know, we have tried a number of things over the year. We've had radio shows with interviews. We've had people, specialists on the show. We've had law enforcement. We've had business owners. We've had realtors. We've had HR personnel as part of our radio shows. And we'll continue to do that. But we're going to really hone in on the public safety aspect and be more about not only security, but law enforcement and the public safety industry. And that really excites me. It's exciting. We're going to reach more people. We're going to be able to share what we do with more people. And definitely, it is more exciting. One of the other things that will also be new that we've been working on for quite a while is a new platform. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about that platform right now, but it is a platform similar to some of the online TV platforms that you might go to. And this is going to be very, very cool because you'll not only have our show, my show, you'll have other people's shows. You'll have TV, online TV shows. You'll have other podcasts and radio shows accessible from one location. And I'm just very excited. We've told you months ago about Frontline Protectors TV, and we are working on that. COVID has slowed down a number of things because we can't get out there and interview. We can't get out there and record some of the people and areas that we want to, but we are starting to. So be looking for that coming out in 2021 as well. We have a lot of things going on. How can you help? Well, first of all, we're going to be looking for some people to help us out with things like production, with developing videos, developing shows, advertising and marketing. We're even looking for voiceover folks right now. If you have a good voice and you can read, we might be able to contract you to do some radio spots. And, you know, we have a lot of different things happening. And one of the things that I've always done, I actually started my business, my security business, to help others. I'd been in law enforcement and decided I wanted to employ people. I wanted to help people to get into the security industry and to see that it could be an actual business and a career. And I've always created jobs for people. And so this is going to create more jobs. And I'm very, very excited about that. And like I said, we have a number of job openings. If you want to find out what's happening, if you want to see what type of jobs we have, we will be posting them to the job boards like Indeed.com and different job boards. But in the meantime, you can contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com is always going to be your point of contact for anything in any of our companies. They may not have the information. More than likely they will. But if they don't, they're going to get someone else involved from one of the other companies that we own, and they will get back with you within 24 hours. One of the comments that we often receive is, I can't believe you answered back immediately. I can't believe that someone called me as soon as I sent that email. Most companies don't do that, but we do. And we're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody's at the help desk. Talking to a good friend of mine in California recently about, you know, what it would take to have a command dispatch 24/7. That's something else that we may look into because we already have staff on duty. We never sleep. You know, Pinkertons, that was their motto, their byline. Pinkertons, we never sleep. Another security company used to say, we only sleep with one eye open. We sleep with one eye open. That was kind of like a rip on we never sleep from Pinkertons. But anyways, we do have a lot going on. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com if you want to find out more. A couple more things before we go to our next break. We want to welcome William Dreschel, a.k.a. Drex, in the Biloxi, Gulfport, and Jackson, Mississippi area. He is one of our new Armor School owners and directors, and we're working with him on some other things as well. We want to welcome Kyle Reese in Maryland, Frederick, and the Montgomery County area, which is Gaithersburg, as well as D.C. Very excited to be working with these gentlemen as our new Armor College campus owners, directors, and Harry E. Long, also a new school campus owner and director. Several more going to be opening by the first of the year. So we're very excited about all of things happening with Armor College. If you would like to find out more, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. They will forward your email over to the operations manager at Armor College and get you out information on how you can start your own school. If you just want to be an instructor, you can also send your resume and your certificates and all your credentials to helpdesk at privateofficer.com. When I come back, we're going to talk about the elections. No, we're not a political type program, and I don't talk politics very often on the program, but this time it's important. We'll be right back.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
Children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many.
I have some very important information to share with you and some very serious concerns. Before I get to that, I do want to tell you that we are looking for regulatory instructors in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Tennessee. Regulatory instructors are those who teach state-specific courses, and those courses include private security in the Carolinas, Tennessee, and Virginia, and private police in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. If you're an instructor currently certified, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We pay the best rates for instructors. You're not going to get paid more any place in the country. I can guarantee you, because we've interviewed a lot of instructors across the country over the years, and it's pretty sad what their hourly rates are. And some of them get one lump sum. They get paid $60 or $100 for the day, while their employer is getting paid three or four times or even 10 times that. So contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you are an instructor in Virginia, Maryland, D.C., South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, or beyond, because we'd like to put you to work. We also are looking for other types of instructors, and you can find that on our website. All right. Some very, very serious information. Because one of the businesses that I own is a college with the police department, our law enforcement officers have been involved in recent months with a number of updates and meetings and information sharing with other agencies. And across the country, November 4th, Election Day, may turn out to be, and I hope not. I really do. I hope it does not happen. But it may turn out to be one horrendous day, and maybe weeks. No matter who wins the election, whether it's Biden or Trump, law enforcement has been preparing for months for riots, for cities to burn, and for shootings. As you know, if you've been paying attention to the news over the last few months, ammunition and firearms are at an all-time high in the sales. Many stores are out of guns, and many stores cannot get any ammo. They can't keep it in the store long enough, and manufacturers cannot manufacture ammo quick enough. As a security officer or a private police officer, it is important that you know, if you're going to be on duty from that day forward, no matter where you are, the civil unrest that you've experienced in recent months may only be the tip of the true iceberg that's to come in a few weeks. I'm not, and I'm going to say this again, I'm not telling you to arm yourself on duty if you're not supposed to be armed. And I'm not telling you to shoot first and ask questions later. I'm telling you to be aware, to have officer safety, and really take everything seriously. It doesn't matter what your assignment, it doesn't matter what city you're in, what state. You could be in rural Montana. Something could pop off, something could happen, someone could attack you. I'm telling you this information because I want you to be safe. I want you to be prepared. If you're a business owner, security company owner, a private law enforcement officer, I want you to be prepared in advance. I want you to have some emergency planning. What will you do if this should happen? How will you protect your clients? If you've already experienced some civil unrest in the apartment complex, in the shopping mall, in businesses that you currently have under contract, can you only imagine what it's going to be like as many businesses begin calling you for help, calling you to please send some security out here, because there's not going to be any law enforcement available to respond. And I'm telling you the gospel truth. I live in several states. And in the states I live in small towns outside of the metropolitan area. And they are preparing for the worst. And if they're already preparing for the worst, can you imagine what it's going to be like in the bigger cities? I'm not telling you that this is doomsday, but we need to have situational awareness, and we need to prepare. I grew up in the north, and back during the days when I was growing up, there was blackouts and brownouts where power outages, just all of a sudden, power would go down, and there'd be no power, and there was chaos. Many times there was mass looting, rioting, like you already are seeing with some areas in the civil unrest. This will be just, I'm sure, 100 times worse than you could ever imagine, and much worse than what you have been seeing. This is just a word to the wise. Please think about this. Take it seriously. Prepare. Know what you're going to do. Whatever assignment that you might be on that day, election day, or from that point forward, what will you do if something happens? And before we go to our next break, there was a situation just a couple of weeks ago at a federal courthouse where a contracted armed security officer, female security officer, was overwhelmed by a group of about 30 people who just rushed into the door, and they would not listen to her instructions, and she pulled her firearm for a few seconds and then put it away. I can tell you from my own personal experience that you will freak out and you will be overwhelmed if that happens to you, if a large number of people just rush in to your building, your shopping mall, the business that you're at. So you have to know, what will you do besides run and hide? You have to know what is the best thing, and you'll also need to know what is your way out if that's necessary. We're taking a quick break. We're coming right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
Want to welcome you back to the Private Officer Beat Radio. And of course, this week, like every week, we have a lot of breaking news. So I'm over at the news desk, and let's get to it. A number of officer down reports. Sergeant Harry Cohen of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department died 48 years old, 24 years on the job. He had a heart attack during a training. Officer Leslie Dale Allen, he was the chief probation officer there in Clark County, and he died. He had 40 years of service, and they list his death as COVID. A contract special deputy marshal, Anthony Charles McGrew, he was 51, 13 years of service. He also died in Georgia of COVID. A female Chicago security officer was stabbed multiple times during a confrontation at a garage on Canal Street. Authorities said that the woman was in the parking structure at about 5 p.m. when she got into a physical altercation with a person causing a disturbance. He's fled in the vehicle. Her condition is listed to be stable at this time, but she is hospitalized. Hospital security and police did subdue a man accused of assaulting a nurse. It was a pretty violent assault in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Police arrived as security was trying to subdue Jesse Telford. And they do have charges against that person, and the security officer was not injured, but the nurse that was assaulted was. We've talked about in the last few months the number of security companies getting into more of a patrol, physical patrol, walking and mobile patrol for communities, cities and counties, park departments. And here's another case of that. In Natchez, Mississippi, they've hired a security team to physically patrol the downtown area and the bluffs along the Mississippi River. It's a tourist area. And they say that the added uniformed officers will assist the police department in responding to disturbances, loitering, and other types of crimes happening currently in the downtown area. We are seeing this more and more, and we've talked about this a number of times, and I do believe that as police are having a harder time finding personnel, that they're going to be using security much more to fill in the gaps of law enforcement. In Oregon and other states, including North Carolina, they are using, the county election boards are using private security to guard the ballot boxes. Many ballot boxes are out in the public. Access to anyone at all who wants to drive up and either smash it or steal it or light it on fire. Some election boards have decided to hire security. In fact, a Baltimore security officer, unarmed, was stabbed, was shot a few days ago and is in good condition. But, you know, police are saying they don't know if that had anything to do with the actual ballot box or if it was an attempted kidnapping or carjacking or robbery. They just don't know. In Chico, California, police shot and killed a man who had been in a confrontation with a security officer. The security officer tased him. The man fled into a Petco store. Police confronted him. He was armed with a knife, and they did shoot and kill Stephen Vest, 30, near the Petco store in Chico, California. Also in the news, we have more details coming out from Las Vegas. A large rise in violent crimes along the Vegas Strip. This is not good, especially since they've already been closed down a number of months because of COVID. And now a rise of crime, including three recent shootings in various casinos. So armed and unarmed, uniform and plainclothes, police and security are heavily patrolling the Strip. More than 100 arrests have been made in the last 2 weeks, and police are being a little heavy-handed in the area, they say, but it is all to quell the rise in the violent crime. A death of a security officer was reported. An employee of Allied Security A female by the name of Tatiana Harris, 25, died of the COVID. She lived in the Williamsburg, Virginia area. Police in Troy, New York, are reporting that one of their officers accidentally shot himself in the foot, in the leg and the foot. And they're not saying exactly how it happened, but they said that a material from his uniform caught on the gun, and it accidentally went off. The University of Alabama police recently made an arrest of a 22-year-old man charged with sexual extortion in a trafficking case that is still ongoing involving federal agents and the University of Alabama police. They did arrest the 22-year-old on multiple counts, and he is currently in the county jail. Something that you may be very interested to know, a new law that was passed a while back says that all commercial railroads, including those that are transporting freight, cargo, they have to have TSA certification, security certification. Every employee, including dispatchers, yard employees, and those that work on the train itself. This training is being done by private schools. In fact, Armor College, we have been in touch, and we hope to be chosen to be one of those schools. But many of the trains that operate up and down your freight lines are not trained at all in any security aspect, none of their employees. And so this new law will put everyone on the same playing field, and they'll all have some type of training. The South Lake Hospital has been fined after a security officer and a nurse was injured by a violent patient. They have been fined $100,000, which is really a drop in the bucket. According to South Lake Regional Healthcare, they pled guilty to the charges of having a lack of security on site that could have prevented this. A man was arrested and charged for possessing meth after a sharp eagle eye security officer at a casino saw the meth drop out of his pocket when he reached in for the cell phone. Now, you probably know, if you've ever gone to a casino, that there's a lot of cameras. You've heard of the eye in the sky, and the eye in the sky was definitely watching Dallas Stevens in Minnesota, who, like I said, he happened to be reaching into his pocket for his cell phone when out popped a package of meth. Police were called, security held him, police were called, and they have charged him. A security officer in Providence, Rhode Island, was seriously injured during a confrontation with a man armed with a machete. This happened in Providence, Rhode Island. This is actually the fourth incident that we've recorded in recent months of people attacking security officers with machetes. I'm not sure. What's all of a sudden the fascination with carrying machetes? For a long time, we had probably a year of security officers being attacked with knives. We had over 33 cases of attacks with knives. Now it's machetes. I guess really people who can't buy a gun, maybe convicted felons, maybe people who don't have the money to buy a gun, can walk into any hardware store, Lowe's, Home Depot, any of them, you know, Ace is your friendly neighborhood, you know, hardware store, and buy a machete for about $12 or $15. So it's a lot cheaper and it's much more accessible to people. So I really don't know. A man in Newark, New Jersey, is boycotting Whole Foods after security accused him of shoplifting. He said that he really wasn't shoplifting. He hadn't exited the store with the merchandise yet. But many states do have a concealment law, a clause in the law that says if you conceal it, even in the store, you are guilty of theft, shoplifting. And so he says, no, no. You know, he was just holding it, and he wasn't shoplifting. So he has boycotted the store. He came back after his arrest and laid down in the doorway for about 15 minutes. He wouldn't get up. He wouldn't remove himself. And so, again, this is a situation where you have a defiant person, a disorderly person, and yet there's really not a whole lot you can do unless you are going to arrest them. In Oregon, Cannabis Security, they were injured in an explosion. Investigators are still trying to determine how that happened. We have a lot of news. You can get our news by going to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Our news comes out every day. A lot of different news items about private security, public safety, law enforcement. I think you'll find it an interesting read. A couple more stories here, news stories that we'd like to bring you. Two Atlanta area security officers were arrested over the weekend. A man who had been trespassed at an apartment complex returned, but security didn't see him come into the complex. They saw him when he was trying to leave. Marcus Sawyer and Lucas Brown are employed by Sicko and Associates Security based in Atlanta. They've been charged with felony assault after the man ran out of the parking area, out of the complex area. The security chased him across the street and detained him, handcuffed him. One security officer punched the subject in the face. And so the charges were originally a misdemeanor, but the police elevated that to a felony. Yes, they had a legal right to detain the person because he had committed a crime in their presence. And in Georgia, private person arrest, you know, the law says that they can detain anyone that commits a crime of any level in their presence or that they believe that has been committed, and even chasing the person across the street. Now, should they have chased the person across the street? I'm not sure, because I've been in that situation as a security owner at housing projects and apartment complexes where we did chase people across the street, take them into custody and charge them with trespassing after they've been notified earlier. So I'm not sure, but we do have a court watch unit that will be watching the case, and we'll let you know. In Connecticut, an Allied Universal security officer who was a security officer at the Simsbury, Connecticut school passed away last week. Very tragic. It seems like he was well-liked. And according to the school, they had a number of counselors that they brought in after the passing of Pedro Gonzalez, a security officer employed privately for Allied University. A lot of news always happening. Be sure that you go to our website and also sign up for breaking news at privateofficer.org. We're going to take a quick break. Coming right back. A lot of things happening. You're going to want to know about them.
Yeah, that's right. I'm dead. I got shot. I'm not supposed to be dead. I'm only 17, and now I can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated. Can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do.
Oh,
How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
Brought to you by Man Up Inc. USA, a proud member of the Gun Violence Awareness Movement.
This week we are wrapping up our three-part series about business ownership and entrepreneurship. It is undoubtedly one of the best feelings that any person could have to know that you have come up with a special widget, some type of product, a service, an idea, something that could generate income and give you financial freedom and financial security. Over many years, I have been blessed and just unbelievably lucky to have known that feeling multiple times, multiple businesses. Do they all become $1 million, $1 billion corporations and entities? Of course not. But if you can come up with a service, a business plan, a product, something that can generate income and provide a good living for you and your family, that's it. That is like heaven. You don't always have to look for the big deal, for the big payout, for the big paycheck. It's nice. It's great to have wealth and to be able to buy whatever you want without even considering, no consideration whatsoever. I can buy it. But in reality, most companies are just getting by. And as we have found out during the 2007, 2008, 2009, even 2010, and again recently this year with the coronavirus, you know, things can happen to quickly put you out of business. I just read a Wall Street News piece today, earlier, and it was talking about hotels. And it said 33% of all hotels, all major chains, will not be in business by the year's end. Very much like shopping malls and retailers like, Macy's and JCPenney and others, they cannot sustain themselves when there's no business. There's a certain amount of money that they have in the emergency funds, and when that runs out, it's over. If you're unemployed, the average person, if they're unemployed longer than 2 weeks, they cannot pay their rent. They cannot pay their mortgage, their car payment, their utilities. They cannot buy food for themselves and their kids. It's just how it is. People don't save enough for that catastrophe, that emergency that might come your way. Same thing for businesses. Businesses have millions of dollars put aside for these type of emergencies, but they don't plan for 4, 6, 12 months or beyond. It's impossible. When you're talking about large companies, you're talking about millions and millions of dollars in payroll. Billions, in fact, in payroll alone. Millions and millions and sometimes billions of dollars in lease or mortgages. And it's almost impossible for those companies to sustain themselves without sales, without income, just like your household. So for any person who has a business, as long as you can generate income and as long as you are putting some away for rainy days, you should be able to survive. And it's a great feeling. And over the many years that I've been doing it, I have helped others to open their own businesses. I've helped others, consulted with many people and helped them to understand what business ownership is all about, what it takes before you even open the door, before you even get a business license. And thankfully, some of those people are still in business and out there today. With Armor College and Private Officer and some of the other companies that I have, we still put people to work, but we also give them the opportunity to own their own business. We have a business plan. We have a product or a service. We have an idea and maybe even some sales to back it all up. We've talked about your monthly expenditures last week, and this week we need to understand and we need to really put it all on paper, what we're doing, how much we're going to charge, how much money do we need to run the business for the next 30, 60, 90, 120, or even for the next 12 months? How many employees are we going to need? Do we need an office? Do we need to buy company cars? I'm in the process right now, and I'm not going to bore you with the information, but I'm in the process right now of starting a new company that will be open January 1. We're already probably 70% complete with all the compliance and licensing and insurance and all the other stuff. But this company is different than other companies that I've started because this company is equipment heavy. Some companies are payroll heavy. A security company is like a staffing company. 70% or more of your income is going to go out the door to payroll. Well, in my new company, that's not true. Payroll will be one of the lesser expenses that I have to worry about every month, although there'll be some employees. On the other note, it's equipment heavy. I have to buy certain type of equipment, very expensive equipment, thousands and thousands of dollars. I have to buy vehicles, company cars. You know, we already have vehicles that we have to maintain. We have to buy more cars for this new business, and we have to maintain them. We have to have very expensive insurance, much more expensive than any company I've ever owned. And we're really putting it all on the line that this business will work. Well, we have done our due diligence. We have for several months just done nothing but due diligence. We have looked at our competition, which is very few. We have looked at the startup cost, which is very large. And we've looked at the feasibility, whether or not it's going to work and will it be a moneymaker. Because if you have a good idea, if you have a good service, if you have a good product, it may not work, even if it's the best in the area. It really is a gamble, and you never know until you get out there, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in the first week or the first month or even the first year. But there is a time when you have to understand that this just isn't going to work, and I've been fortunate not to have to understand that. And all of the startups that I've had and have, all the companies have been successful. So, but with this new company, a lot of equipment, a lot of vehicles, a lot of liability, a lot of insurance, and we'll tell you more about it maybe next month. It's very exciting, and it will eventually also become a franchise system. Because that's one of the fastest ways to expand and to help others to own businesses and to not have to worry about coming up with that secret sauce or that special widget. We've already done it. We've packaged it. And now all that you have to do is do the job and become part of our system. But being a business owner, you have to immediately get to work and be ready to work around the clock. I understand that we all need sleep, we all need rest, we all need to have family time. But when you're a business owner, and I think I told you this in week one and last week, that You have to be committed, 100%. You have to be the first employee of the company. Ah, no, I'm the boss. I'm going to sit back by golly, and I'm just going to run things and give orders. No, it don't work that way. Even today, I sweep, I mop, I take the trash out. I do a lot of clerical work, much more than I want to. It's whatever it takes. I'm there all hours of the day and night. And now with the new company, I have several new companies all opening around the same time. But with the new companies, I'm going to be much more hands-on than I've probably been in many years. I'm going to be an employee first and an owner second. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. I'll be there. As a business owner, as an entrepreneur, that's what it takes. Three things very quickly that will close your doors. One, you're underfinanced, undercapitalized. If you don't have the right amount of money to last the first 90, 120, 180, or 365 days, you're going to be out of business. Because as I've mentioned already, many clients actually don't pay 30 days. They don't pay 15 days. It might be 60 days later, 90 days later. Then what? What if they're all like that? What will you do? You have to be ready to get in there and do the job and be the first employee. You have to understand business plans, marketing, what the going rate is. So many times people, they underestimate what it's going to take to operate the business, to pay all the bills, the employees, taxes, insurance, all of that, and they are underfunded, undercapitalized. Another thing that will kill the business we mentioned is not having a roadmap, not having a business plan, not understanding what your business is or who your customers are. Trying to expand too fast without the capital, without the cash. I did that. And I can tell you, 9 offices in 3 years, I opened successfully. But as I look back, it's like way, way too soon. You have to really learn to crawl before you walk, and then before you run. And what I'm trying to explain today is if you don't do it in an orderly fashion, in an educated fashion, and you're not realistic about the service, the product, or the customer, or how much money you have and how fast you can grow, you will be closed before you open. I want to leave you with these three things. And I hope that you will use them to guide you and to direct you. So besides having a good product or service, and besides being properly funded and capitalized, and having a good business plan and marketing plan, there's a few other things that you need to know. The first thing is you really need to understand people, your customers, and your employees. It's not all about business, and it's not all about money making. Although, no money, no business, you have to be a very serious, sincere, caring person about those who are your customers and those who are your employees. You have to be willing to know when to not push. When you're trying to sell a product and you need money desperately, you're going to lie. You're going to oversell it. You're going to push the customer. And sometimes that just turns them off. Been there, done that. You have to, whatever your product or service is, you have to be honest and you have to be serious. You have to tell them what it will and will not do. This is what I can and cannot do for you. We're not going to come in with our security staff and be the military. We're not going to be Gestapo. We're not going to be police. We can do this and we can do that, and we will do those things professionally and to the best of our ability, but we cannot do thus and thus and thus. And if you're expecting us to, I'm sorry, we're not the right company for you. Too many times, because security companies, especially staffing companies and other similar companies, want the business, they're willing to say and do anything, especially if you have marketing and sales reps out there who are commissioned. They oversell the product, the business, and they make a lot of promises that are not true and that will never be true. And then when the customer is dissatisfied, when they're calling you a liar, when they're calling you out, when they are announcing nowadays on social media what a bad company you are, it does a lot more harm than it will ever do good. Number two, and the same thing for employees, by the way. You want to treat your employees as if they're family. I've always tried to do that. I have gone above and beyond for some folks. And without employees, you have no business. And without a business, you have no employees. So they go hand in hand. Treat people like they were part of your family. I've had a lot of disappointments over the years. I've had people steal large amounts of money from me, equipment, vehicles. I've had people take their knowledge and start up a competitive competition business down the road. I've had people do all sorts of things that I just couldn't believe they did as good and as I treated them. But that's part of the business. Do it anyways. Treat your customers and your employees like family. Number two, I want you to always remember that you are not a king. You are not the president. You are not God. You are not some person on a big throne and people have to bow down to you. Respect everyone. Respect everyone. Don't think too highly of yourself. I've always been the type of person, employer, where if I won't do it, I don't expect my employees to. And that's the God's honest truth. If I'm not willing to do something, how can I expect the employee to do it? If I haven't done it, how can I teach someone how to do it with the experience behind it? We teach in our schools, our instructors and myself teach from knowledge, from experience, not from the book. And the same thing in business. You have to teach from experience, from know-how. You have to teach from the position of, I know what I'm doing. And if you don't, your employees are going to know that right away. How can you expect them, really, how can you expect them to be experienced and professional if you're not? In some episodes of Undercover Boss, I've heard more times than I could count, owners and presidents and high executives saying, I've never done this, or it's been 30 years since I've done this. I've never done this aspect of the business. I've never been over here, blah, blah. Wrong way to manage, wrong way to own. Always be there for the business and for your employees and your customers. You are that thing that holds everything together. And you're also going to be that person who's going to be liable when things go south. The third thing I want to leave you with is investment. Never, ever forget about investing in your community, your employees, and those who have helped you along the way. Even though I've had some sad times, tragic times, and times when I just couldn't believe people did what they did, I still invested in them. Talking to a friend of mine last night who owns a security company that does a lot of similar patrols and housing complexes and low income that I've done and our companies do. And we were talking about how we always give back to those communities. During the school, before school started, we always had backpacks full of pens and pads and all sorts of school gear, and we handed them out to the children. Nothing in return, didn't expect anything in return. We always had Halloween candy. We always gave Christmas gifts and even set up schools, after school programs. We are working right now, as a matter of fact, in that same area. Never, ever forget that if it was not for these people, whether they be employees or customers or even people that you do business with, you wouldn't be in existence. You wouldn't have a business. Invest in your community. Invest in your employees. Invest in yourself. That's going to do it for this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Well, it's not going to be the Private Officer Beat Radio for much longer, but we're going to have a lot more to talk about in the upcoming weeks as we progress into the new year. Don't forget, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.